This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 76, sponsored by YouBuyNow.com and Netflix.com.
Wait, really?
Yes, really.
What? You're kidding me.
On the morning when I woke up without you, for the first time, I felt free, and I felt lonely, and I felt scared.
Welcome to the iFanboy.com podcast, episode number 76. My name is Ron, and I'll be your guide to this wonderful tour of comic books along with Josh.
We're touring?
Yes, we are.
All right, well, I'll do whatever. I'll go with it.
And Connor?
Hola!
He's our Mexican compatriot.
Senor Connor.
So this here is the podcast from the website iFanboy.com, which is all about comic books. We love comics, and we read comics. And every week we talk about the comic books that came out this week, specifically one that is our pick of the week, and as well as some of the other books that came out. We answer your emails and we listen to your voicemails. But considering this is episode number 76, we figure it might be a jumping on point for some new listeners or some people who might be new to the show. So we thought we might explain the world of iFanboy to you.
Well, it occurred to us that maybe some people didn't know what the difference between the two shows was, and we thought we'd just take a second and highlight it. We have two shows. One's an audio show. One's a video show. There's this one, which Ron just explained, and this is going to come out every single Sunday night, provided some world-altering event hasn't happened. And then every Wednesday afternoon, you're going to get the video show, and the video show is a totally different animal. It's we pick a topic. It doesn't have anything to do with what stuff came out that week. We can talk about books we like or different recommendations or go to conventions or any other thing we can think of. And so that's every Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock East Coast time, about thereabouts.
Yeah. So and the video is brought to you by our good friends over at revision3.com, but oh, yeah. You can always head over to ifanboy.com and get all the shows, as well as look us up on iTunes, and that's where you can download the stuff.
But they're both totally different. So if you're thinking, yeah, I don't want to just watch them do the video show or the audio show, you're missing out.
Right. And all those who just listen to the audio show in your commute to work, go home, download the video show, try it. It's the new world of television through the internet. It's amazing.
Or try to watch the video on your commute.
If you have an iPod video or some sort of video playing device.
Yeah. I was saying they should watch it while driving. You see, it was bad advice.
Oh, I see. But some people, you guys commute on the subway. You could watch it on the subway.
I don't have a video iPod. You don't need a video iPod either.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch it on your computer, your Apple TV, or through your Xbox 360, or whatever. There's all sorts of ways to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. So, Connor, how do you like to watch it?
I'm sorry, where am I? I like to watch it without pants. I think we should move on.
All right, let's move on. So before we move on to this week's pick, just a quick warner. We're going to talk warning.
Jack Warner. I started the studio back in 32.
We're going to talk about the comic books that came out this week as well as what happened in them. So if you haven't read your comics or even bought them yet, then you might not want to listen because we might give some stuff away and might give some spoilers away. That said, this week Connor's got the pick.
No, I don't.
Josh has the pick. Sorry about that.
This is a mess.
So, Josh, why don't you take us away?
I will take you away to Calgon land. That was old. This week was an okay week, I would say. I got a bunch of books, and I was pleasantly content with them. But I was trying to think about what to pick, and it occurred to me that Fell number 8 was really good. And the more that I was flipping through stuff, the more I was reminded of how much I really liked this book. And I have all along, and it kind of surprised all of us here. None of us started reading this book or heard anything about it, and it was actually this is a special book for us because this is the one that people who were at the site, people, you know, listening to the show, were telling us we need to be reading, and we all did listen, and now we started reading it, and I think we're all pretty pleased about that.
Yes, absolutely, and it was the iFanboy Nation who got us to read it, so thank you.
You're going to piss off Dan Didio.
I'm sorry, the iFanboy Faithful, that's what we call it.
Actually, that's an older reference in DC, but we can move on. The more, probably piss off the Red Sox more than DC.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Why don't you tell everybody what Fell is about?
Well, Fell is sort of an experiment in comics. I think it's got a different format in that it's 16 pages instead of the standard 22 or 32. The cover price is $1.99 for a full-color comic book. There's Warren Ellis is the writer, and Ben Templesmith is the artist. And by artist, I mean colors, inks, the whole deal. And they even got Chris Eliopoulos, lettering superstar, to do the words in there. And basically, it's a hard-bitten cop story. There's a guy. His name is Richard Fell. He's a detective, and he is assigned to Snowtown, which is sort of it's next to the city, which is all it's ever been called. And it's a really horrible place full of horrible people. And these are the stories of the horribleness of that.
But it's uplifting.
It is. But,
oddly, it is, yeah.
But it really takes you into the gutter before it gets to that point. And
sure,
last,
you go way down before you go way up.
I like the last issue.
I like to pretend Snowtown is Newark. Anyway, carry on, Josh.
So the last issue, number 7, was a sort of a mind blower. It was a whole lot of stuff happened, and there was a guy with it's like a super drug that turned him crazy, and there was all sorts of killing, and it was a really grisly sort of downer issue. Really well done, a lot into it. And then at the end of this one, you read Warren Ellis' notes, he said it kind of just killed him. So for this issue, he came back, and instead of normally what you get are
you
9
should point
panel,
out that the, or you should point out that it, these are self-contained stories.
Yeah. And every issue, you could go and pick this up right now, and you wouldn't need to have read what came before it.
And furthermore, the last issue did not – our protagonist did not win. He lost, actually.
No, he did, which was the first time.
Yeah.
Because Richard Fell seems to be an exceptionally competent detective. He's very good at it. And he was sent to Snowtown because he pissed off the wrong person. This issue – normally the way this book looks is that you open it up and the panels are laid out in 9-panel grids on a page, which are pretty dense, and there's a lot that they can go on there. This is the first time that they've broken away from that for the most part, and the pages are 3 horizontal grids or 3 horizontal panels stacked on top of each other. And most of the story is told in the form of his notes that are on either side of the panel.
Yeah, there's only one page of 9-panel grids.
And it basically takes you through his night shift, starting at you know, like at 8 p.m. and all the stuff that happens in the night on the job. And there's not really a single thread story. There is a story that starts at the beginning and ends at the end, but it's more about like his night on the job and his mood and what happens. And I know that sounds boring, but it's not. It's really engaging. And one of the reasons stuck with me is that it reminded me of Transmetropolitan, which was my first and probably favorite Warren Ellis work. Spider Jerusalem was the protagonist of that story. He was a journalist sort of in the not really distant future, and he was kind of wacky and strange, and he was like a jerk, but he really, like, underneath it all, he cared about what happened to humanity, and there were just bits of that in this. I felt there was just a couple of wacky things. There was the death banana, where a guy was going and weaponizing bananas at stores and markets like that. And that was just kind of some of the really wacky ideas that Transmetropolitan was famous for. It was just other things like that. There's like a rabid gang of dogs who keep going further and further into the town. It's like the dogs came along again. This time they killed someone. It's just like it's just far enough afield of reality that it hits a level of surreality that's.
But then when it hits reality, it really hits hard. I think one thing I noticed as I was reading it was I was about halfway through it and I realized I had been reading a while. It's a really dense comic. It was dense when it's 9 panels per page, but even even when it's 3 panels per page, he puts a lot of words into it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I should say that when I opened this up and I first saw, I was like, oh, it's all going to be like this. And I was initially disappointed, and I read about a page and a half, and I was like, you know what, this is great. I have nothing to worry about here.
Yeah, you get a full-on comic experience with Fell.
Yeah, it's $2.
Yeah, And the thing is, I was skeptical going into it because I'm not a big fan of Warren Ellis, and the fact that it was shorter and there was less number of pages, I was kind of like, grumble. But it is dense, and what I just love about it is not only the writing, because the stories are great, but Temple Smith's art is excellent, but even the layout and the design of it is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, something as subtle as the consistency of the yellow pieces of paper that the writing was on, even when he only has one sentence.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's really hard to fight that desire to make the box of text around fit just the text. Mm-hmm. But he came up with a concept and he ran with it. You know, and then like, you know, Connor mentioned earlier, switching from the narration of the 3 panels per page to when he finally engages the bad guy in this issue and it becomes pulled out of his notes and into reality and moving back to the 9 panel grid.
Right, the reality of the norm of the book, and it's like, oh, we're back.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was
just
great.
At the very end, we hit the thing again. But this is totally a surprise comic. I mean, I enjoyed this a lot.
I started my review by just saying, you know, I think this is one of my favorite books now.
It's well done. It's very, very well done.
It's also one of those books where it comes out really infrequently, but at the same time, I don't really mind.
Because
I want it to come out more, but I don't like get frustrated and angry when it doesn't come out.
Because it's totally refreshing, and I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it's totally like it's when it comes out, it's just perfect. And of course, I want another one, but I'm not left. It's because it's a one and done. I'm not left hanging to know what happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, it didn't come out, but it's I don't need to follow a story.
Right, exactly. When it comes out, you can totally enjoy it, and it's just, you know, it's probably as close to comic book perfection as there is.
That's a tall statement.
Well, I mean, but it's a sequential story that is self-contained and is thoroughly enjoyable from both a writing and from an artistic standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't know of a more well-rounded comic book.
One thing that I think that makes this the way it is that this is a labor of love, I think. I can't imagine that they're making their livings off of this book, and so when they do it, they're doing it because they want to, and you feel that. There's some intangible thing that when somebody does a book like that, it comes through in the pages, in the words, and I feel that with this. I just – every time I flip through it, the art, which seems very simple at first, gets to be better and better.
Yeah.
Like it's really – like it stands up to repeat reading and viewing. And if you look – one thing that actually really struck me when I was writing the review is I was just looking at the cover. And you can look at if you don't have it, you can go to the website to the pick of the week, and you can click on the cover, and it'll get big so you can see it. There's so much emotion conveyed in the character of Fell, just the figure of him. It's very little line work. Like you can't see much of his face. You can't see. It's kind of cartoony. Yeah, it really, really is, and there's a lot going on there, and so you have no reason not to buy this book unless you just don't like it. Yeah,
if you are listening to this and you're interested and you don't want to go back and get all the issues, which you may not be able to find, I don't know what kind of print run they had. But
I think they've been reprinting them quite healthily.
And I know that some stores in some areas don't even order it, so maybe that you can't get it. In May 25th is when the Fell trade comes out, so that will be
awesome.
Something people can pick up if they're interested in crime, well-written stories, you know, something that's beyond.
If you're
normal.
A budding criminal.
No, if you're interested in crime stories and something that's not superheroes, then this is a great,
Yeah, totally. And even down like to the cover, like looking at the cover for next issue, and even Ellis's little comment about next issue, how he doesn't know, he's like, more stuff. Don't ask me. The script is currently 30 pages long, and I still don't know what the story's about yet. We're all doomed. Like, you know, like it's just fun. You know, you could tell he's having fun doing it. You know.
Yeah, and the other thing is at the end, this has letters in it. You know, good old comics did, and he also – he puts in, like
– commentary.
Page and a half of commentary about stuff that's going on and the thing he was thinking about and stuff like that. It's incredibly engaging, and it's just good comics. So you could go out and buy this issue.
This is
– buy this or 7.
I will go as far not knowing enough completely about their line of published comics to back the statement up, but this is probably the best book Image is putting out right now, like at least the most exciting book.
More exciting than Dead and Invincible?
I honestly, because I buy those in trades and hardcovers, so I don't read them on an issue to issue basis. In my regard, yeah, this is the one, and I buy Image books, and I keep track of what they put out, and every time I see it on the shipping list, I go ooh, you know. So
I was really happy when I saw.
Yeah, so.
So we've gushed about that a lot, yeah. I think.
So that happened. Yeah. So Image Comics. So.
One of the other books that we're just going to stay off our normal stuff this week, I guess, and keep going. I picked up a book, and Connor picked up a book called Two Guns, out of Boom Studios, written by Stephen Grant, who does a column over at great column over at Comic Book Resources. What'd you think, Connor?
This actually, I love Phil. This was actually my pick of the week.
Really?
Yeah.
I
really enjoyed this, and it shocked me. Where often comics don't shock you anymore because you kind of know where all the story's going to go. Mm-hmm. This one actually surprised me at the end. So
interesting.
Actually, you know, I had a really, you know, one of those whoa reactions when I finished it. So that anytime I can get that out of a comic, I enjoy it a lot. So that's probably why I picked it.
I'm so pleased to see a comic from Boom pop up on this because I want to read their stuff, but my store never gets it, and I'm really curious about it. And I picked stuff up in trades, and I've read things here and there, but older issues. And so I didn't even hear about this book. And when you guys mentioned about it, and then you told me about it, I got all excited because I'm cool. A new book. Let's hear all about it. You know. So.
Well, we just it was an impulse buy on the shelf. You know. Yeah.
That's great.
I had seen it on the list, and I tried to find some information on it. And actually, the Boom Studios website isn't updated. There's nothing on.
Yeah,
this,
I know. I found
that
out tonight.
This.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I'll just look at it when I get there because I love reading Stephen Grant's columns. I always have. He's almost too smart for his own damn good. And so when I got there, I looked through it, I picked it up, and I decided to go for it. And Connor was like, yeah, me too. And
it was a good thing it was a short week, otherwise I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, yeah. Basically what it is, it's a crime book about a bank heist. And I know that sounds familiar, like there's something else we've been reading with that. But it's got a different flavor completely, and then there's a twist at the end that you don't see coming. And literally the only real complaint I had about this book is that it felt kind of standard at first, but then it won me over. Then the only other thing is that the main character has a really bad mullet and goatee.
Awesome.
And that's almost
like, well, the main character in Criminal had a bad goatee.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the new thing for criminals now. They all have the half goatee thing going on.
Yeah.
But no, this is something else. Look for it. Two Guns. It's a fun crime book. And I think it's a five issue miniseries, so this is issue one. Jump right in.
Cool. Yeah, 1 of 5.
Yeah, there's a lot $4 of cover price. Backstabbing. Yeah. Ooh, I didn't know it was that.
Yeah. wave of the future. There's no ads though, as far as I can tell.
And the
print quality of this thing is absurd.
Yeah, no, they do a good job over Boom with that stuff from what I hear. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
I like the art. It's a little cartoony, little.
Yeah, little it's a guy there. Named. I'm gonna give you his name. Matt with 1 T Santaluoco, which probably explains the mullet.
What does that mean?
It means he's a foreigner.
What? Oh my god.
Wow.
Let's move on.
There are areas of the world where the mullet is still acceptable, and a lot of upcoming comic talent may come from these areas of the world. That's what I'm getting at.
And they have bad mullets?
Yeah.
Listen, all I'm saying is soccer is very popular in other parts of the world.
It's called football.
I'm translating. Well, football still has a great love of the mullet.
Oh, Jesus.
You know
Ron,
it's true.
Ron, get us out of here.
So on the same tip of the theme of the show in terms of picking things that we don't normally talk about, I took a chance on After the Cape #2, also from Image. I had read about it. I heard about this book. I haven't been able to find After the Cape #1. So
you bought #2 without reading #1 and read it?
That's honestly, it was the cover that got me.
Keep
in mind that a lot of the comic books that have hooked me have not been #1s. I mean, like the comic book that got me back into in comics when I stopped buying in the early 90s, and nobody knows this, is a little known fact. The comic that got me back into comics in like 1992 or 1993 was Supreme #2.
Really?
Yep. I picked that up and I was like, what is this? This is awesome. And like, and that dove me in. So it was a #2 issue that got me back in. Huh. So in that same theme, I picked
Alan Moore.
After the kid, no, it was before, way years before Alan Moore. Oh God, years. It was I think Liefeld was writing it. I think it was a foil cover. Yeah, it was the first series.
92 was the bad years.
Not Alan Moore. Alan Moore was like 94, 95.
We're lucky you're still with us. Jeez.
I know, exactly. Anyway, so after the Cape, it's actually from Jim Valentino's Shadow Line of Image, which I don't often see much come out of that. And it looks like it was plotted by Jim Valentino, but it was created and dialogued by Howard Wong. And it's a black and white story. And I'm going to preface this that I didn't read issue number one, so I don't exactly know what's going on. So I'm going to preface that quickly. But it seems to be about a superhero or an ex-superhero who has a family and is also an alcoholic. And because he's an alcoholic, or something bad happened, or he did something bad, and now everything's falling apart. And it's only a 3-issue miniseries, from what I can tell. And I think it's a 3-issue. That's what I read. And it was really, really good. And even though I had no idea what was going on, so I'm going to track down Shadow After the Cape number one, and maybe when After the Cape number three comes out, I'll be more well read about it. But I'm definitely hooked. It was very good, kind of almost like Bendis Jinx torso esque kind of art, black and white kind of art with a lot of shading and shadows and stuff.
Isn't
like
it?
That.
Who's the artist?
The artist is.
Isn't it Calero, the guy who was doing X Factor?
No, it's Marco Rudy.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different book.
Yeah,
I actively passed on After the Cape number one.
Ah, son of a bitch.
I picked it up like in the store when it came out.
Yeah.
And I just decided I didn't want to read it for whatever reason that week.
So I mean, it was engaging, even though I had no idea what happened. So, very good. But Image Comics Boom Studios, we love you this week, but I gotta tell you, and Eric Larson at Image will appreciate this, it was a good week to be a Marvel fan. It was a good week to be a Marvel fan of the lesser known characters, and a lot of our fanboy faithful can relate with me. I know that a lot of them like these characters that came out this week, the first one being Nova number one. Now, before I get into the actual issue...
I was going to do that.
Well, before I get into the issues, Wednesday afternoon, I instant messaged Josh. I said, Nova number one coming out. You going to get it? And Josh was like, summarily dismissed it. Completely dismissed it. And boy, do I have to tell you, you missed the boat. You totally missed the boat. Essentially, and you dismissed it because it was Cosmic Nova. And I guess you liked On Earth Nova.
I didn't really care about Nova one way or another.
But you completely dismissed it. And what happened is that it's coming out of the pages from Annihilation. And what has happened is that the Nova Corps, which used to be like kind of like the Green Lanterns like of Marvel, like a bunch of space cops, they've been completely wiped out in Annihilation. And Nova is the only one that's left. So Richard Rider from New York, from Long Island, he's the only Nova corpsman left. And inside his helmet is the Nova World Mind, which is kind of like this big computer that has all the information that fed all the Novas. So throughout the book, you've got kind of like when the old Peter David's Captain Marvel run, when Rick Jones and Captain Marvel shared the same body and they would talk to each other.
Like Firestorm?
Yeah, kind of like Firestorm in that regard, but a computer. So it's not like there's another personality, but it's kind of like
Booster and Skeets, but he's in the helmet.
Yeah, somewhat like that, and. And so throughout the gist of the whole issue is that Nova Annihilation is over. We won. They pushed back Annihilus' troops, but Nova is responding to all the planets that have called out for help to the Nova Corps because he's the last Nova Corpsman, and he's trying to help as many planets as he can. He's way more powerful than he was before, and he's pushing himself, and the world mind is telling him to slow down, and ultimately until the end when he kind of has a collapse while he's teleporting, and he ends up back on Earth, and it ends with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Iron Man saying, you know, we got to go get this guy. You know, because now they're the cops of the world with superpowers.
Why did they get him?
Well, because he was like a level. He was a class 12 power superhero.
They gotta get him, not get him.
Yeah, no, get him. Yeah, they basically Iron Man calls S.H.I.E.L.D. to go to ThreatCon 1. We don't play games with something like this. That's what he said because they don't know who it was. They just called him a bogey because he came out of space. But essentially why it was so good was because it had that Marvel kind of with great power comes responsibility and also kind of like the humanistic aspect of it where Nova had the weight of all the responsibility of the Nova Corps before him on his shoulders, but he was the only one who could do it, so he wanted to push himself to help as much as he could. So it had that aspect of it. Of course, it had fun space and aliens, and there was some really – I was really impressed with the writing. I got to give Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning credit. They really wrote a really good script. And there was like one planet where, you know, Nova turns on his translator in his helmet because he can't understand the alien language. And in the dialogue, they actually have like in parentheses, like it's like you expression of astonishment, You know, like they mm-hmm. their language, because I guess their language, you know, how sometimes they play with science fiction where the sounds that people make can express more than just words, like how we are, like that concept. And they didn't explain that concept. They just did it, and it totally made sense, and it totally rode with it and totally worked out. And what was great about it was, like I said, it had that humanistic quality, but then also by the end of the issue, he's out of space and he's back on Earth. And whether he stays on Earth or not, and it's almost like Nova is bigger than Civil War. Nova doesn't really care what's going on Earth anymore. He kind of feels as if he's a part of something bigger now. And so he's kind of like, during the issue, he kind of mentioned how he was homesick and how he'd like to go home, but he's like, but I'm a part of something more important. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and so it's kind of interesting to say, okay, he accepts his fate that he's not on Earth anymore, and then put him right back there and throw him in front of Iron Man. And the next issue is him and Iron Man squaring off helmet to helmet.
Shouldn't Nova wipe the floor with Iron Man?
Well, we'll find out. But it's just awesome. And so Bucking now the
versus Shell.
So now the question is, as every time Nova gets his own series, how many issues until it gets canceled?
Six.
That's your bet?
No, 12. I'll give it 12.
12, because they're going to go for a trade, at least one trade.
Augie predicted like 12.
Yeah, so
for two trades, and I'm thinking
that's bold. I just thought this great is a great direction, and hopefully a lot of people are buying it because I got a good feeling about this time around. And Sean Chen on pencils was great; it was really good. So,
you know what?
But
15 issues. Sean Chen, I like Sean Chen.
Yeah, so you should have checked it out. You missed out. But then it doesn't stop there.
It just gets more exciting.
But wait, there's more. Not only did Nova number one come out this week, but the Loners number one came out this week, which is picking up on the introduction of a superhero team coming out of the pages of Runaways, consisting of a bunch of loser superheroes who are trying to be in a support group, trying to give up their superheroing. And amongst them is Darkhawk, my other favorite C-list character.
Woo!
Did either of you guys pick this up?
No!
Why? You missed out on this one, too!
I was so not interested in that book.
This book, and you missed out again, this book picks up those characters in their little support group, kind of, you know, whining to each other that they used to be superheroes, and we get Maddie, the old Supergirl, remember from Alias? Not Supergirl, Spider-Girl?
Mm-hmm. No.
Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that? Did you read Alias?
Oh, wait, from Alias? Vaguely.
Maddie,
there was a storyline where bad guys had captured Spider-Girl and were taking her powers to make MGH.
Yeah.
So after and did you ever wonder what happened with that? What happened with that character?
No.
She picked up and she moved to L.A. And she moved to L.A.
As all wayward ones do.
And she moved to L.A. to join the support group because she wanted to stop being a superhero, but that was just to tell her uncle so he would pay for her to move to L.A., and she actually still wants to be a superhero. And she pulls Darkhawk and Ricochet, who was one of the
Slingers.
In with her as well. And I got to give this creative team credit. C.B. Sabluski on writing it, and what's the artist's first name? Carl Moline. The art was great, and the story was great, and you know, I was really disappointed in the way Brian Vaughan handled these characters. I thought it was a great idea going into it. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of didn't have any energy to it when they happened in Runaways. And there's a spark of energy in this. And of course it has to do with the fact that they're putting their costumes back on and becoming superheroes again. But this definitely is a 6-issue mini, and I'm there for all 6 issues. It was just awesome. So probably Nova or the Loners would have been my pick of the week. Probably. Although, I got to say, New Avengers would have came very close.
Really?
I know you guys picked that up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
You know what? I saw tons and tons of praise for it, and I liked it, but I didn't love it as much as... I thought there was lots of bits in it, but it didn't seem to hold together cohesively as one sort of line.
Interesting.
I thought there was really good parts to it. I definitely enjoyed bits of it, but...
I thought it got a little too complex in terms of time and place.
Yep. I think that's what it felt too disjointed.
Didn't somebody write in or call in about that a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's perfect every time he does it.
Right, no.
I thought this time he did a little, it was just a little, it was all over the place. It had good scenes. I liked, you know, I liked the scene between Danny Rand and I liked the scene and Iron Man.
The Danny Rand scene is really the strength of this, I thought.
That was the high point, definitely. Yeah.
Did you guys, when you saw Captain America Zombie, were you like, oh, that's tasteless?
I thought of Marvel Zombies.
Well, I saw a dead Captain America, and I was like, no, you can't do that. No, don't do that. That's wrong. But then I realized it wasn't a real person.
He's haunting Tony.
I know.
At first, I was like, okay, we got gypped out of the fight. But then I realized we don't want to have the fight so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Mighty Avengers, New Avengers fight. You don't want to have it in Act 1. You want to have it in Act 3.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you want to build up to them coming together and coming to blows. You don't want to have that stuff.
You know what was something really good about this issue was the scene where they're in Doctor Strange's house.
Yeah.
And they're all standing in the same room. And, like, it really felt like one of those movies where, like, the one character's hiding.
Yeah, don't move.
Yeah. Yeah, like in Jurassic Park, you know, when the raptors are in there and the little girl's hiding in the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to... There's one hilarious frame I wonder if either you guys saw. Okay, you know the page, there's two horizontal things going across both the pages where you've got, you know, the Mighty Avengers on top and the New Avengers on the bottom? It's like the second page in.
Okay.
Flip from there. It's the next page where where Doctor Strange casts the spell that makes them all scared. Look at Iron Fist.
Yeah, I know.
What's he doing there? He's like throwing his hands up and his mouth open and his head back. No!
I didn't quite understand that.
I don't know why.
Yeah, but that said, I really like the art in this one for some reason. I don't know why. I mean, it's a lot looser and sketchier than I think I liked. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I really, really like it. So
it's certainly energetic.
It's different, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. So. It was good. I thought it was really, really good. The Rand scene was the best, and I thought the jumping around was a lot, but I was able to follow it and I dug it. So I had no problem with it. I was all good with it. So.
Didn't it feel to you guys like it's too soon for them to be fighting already?
That's what I mean. They didn't actually
right.
Fight.
Like
that's what he just said.
No, I know, but like the more that I think, like even to have them meet each other, like I feel like there should be more time for them to be off doing. We barely know the Mighty Avengers.
Yeah,
because we've only seen them in one issue so far, so we don't. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they're probably like going to be a constant presence. They're probably going to be always working over the shoulders.
It's the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
but, good books.
Yeah, it was a pretty light week for me though. I mean but pretty much Nova and the Loners took all the excitement out of me.
So. Well, just to throw a bone towards DC's direction, I wanted to briefly mention Green Arrow 73, which is wrapping up the Green Arrow saga, the book. Judd Winnick's run. You can see it's all starting to come together. Ollie's giving up his mayorship, or he's making a deal to give it up. Black Canary has shown up, and that's going to lead to the next series. And Connor's back, and it's all leading sort of towards the. You can see it coming to the next status quo. Is sort of everything's shifting. It's a transitional period.
Mm-hmm. The beginning of the end of the series, at least.
I'll be sad to see it go because this is one of my favorite superheroes.
It was a great 75 issue run. Great, I mean, absolutely a lot of fun. So
that's what every issue of this book is just fun.
Yep, exactly. I love Ollie Queen.
You can tell Judd's having a blast writing Ollie Queen.
Winnick also had Trials of Shazam out this week, which was also really good. So he's in a good place, I think.
Excellent. So good week. It was a good strong week.
Next week we're gonna get freaking bombed. Yeah.
A calm before the storm next week. So. Yeah.
Oh, you said you looked in, like, preliminarily?
I have, like, 17 books. I have 17 books next
Jesus.
Week.
Jesus!
I haven't looked because I'm scared. I'm totally scared. So.
This is because of World War III?
Well, five of them are from World War III, yeah.
Jesus.
Anyway. I'm excited, though.
So, I'm excited for our new sponsor. Everyone might have noticed at the top of the show that in addition to youbynow.com, we are sponsored this week by Netflix.
Why don't you tell them more?
Netflix, for those of you who don't know about it, is that's the service that allows you to rent DVDs via the mail. So you go to you go to Netflix.com, you can pick your movies, they mail them to you, you watch them, you mail them back to them.
Keep them as long as you want.
Exactly. They've got over 75,000 titles, no late fees at all, so you keep, like Connor said, you keep the movie as long as you want. Free shipping both ways. They pay for the shipping. Fast delivery. I use Netflix, and I mail back a DVD, and in a day, I've got my new one back. It's amazing.
2 days.
All three of us are long-time Netflix users. We're all pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and
I like the Friends feature.
Yeah,
I have 97% compatibility with Connor, which is odd because him and I don't agree on a damn thing.
The Friends capability is really cool. You can see what your friends are renting, and you can make recommendations. And it's a lot of collaborative fun. So, but the great thing is that they've got plans starting from $4.99, and you get a free 2-week trial to try it out, see if you like it. So, if you're interested, head over to www.netflix.com/ifanboy. Okay, it's important to type www.netflix.com/ifanboy. That's the only way it will work.
And it's Flix with an X.
Yes, netflix.com.
So you have to start a new account.
Yeah, start a new account. And for those of you who already have accounts, this is mainly towards, you know, kind of the two-week free trials only towards new accounts. You can't quit your account and start a new one. They're smarter than that. So
But you know, it's funny is that I actually ended up, I avoided it. I didn't want to have it forever. And yeah. I got, somebody gave me a gift of a free account for like a month.
Yeah.
And like, I've been hooked so bad since then.
Yeah. Once you sign up, you can't live without
it.
Oh
my God.
Great. Yeah. So we're really excited. So, www.netflix.com/iFanboy.
It's awesome for watching TV series.
Yes, indeed.
Listener Black. Mail time.
All right.
We got a letter from Aaron S. He writes in and says, with two major events wrapping up or having just wrapped up, it seems like even more in the pipeline of the crossover miniseries, events that are either just starting, like the Initiative, or about to start Countdown, or have been solicited, Amazon's Attacks, Sinestro Corps, Planet Hulk. Which ones are we most looking forward to? Which ones will pay off the most? Which ones should we just, well, avoid?
This is interesting because I don't know what your guys' approach is, but like I don't typically buy event books unless I've got some sort of prior investment to it. Like if there's an event happening across the books I already read, I'll pick it up. Mm-hmm. But like I'm probably not going to buy Amazon's Attack because I don't read Wonder Woman and I don't really care.
I avoid them like dog poop on the road.
There you go.
Like I really
yet you read Civil War and 52.
Oh yeah, and you
the
know
Initiative.
What?
Yeah.
Well, the Initiative is an example of what Ron was talking about. It goes across all the books that I read. But the thing is, like, this New Avengers, well, this one said New Initiative on it. Last month didn't. They still were. You know, it didn't change the story. It was the same thing.
Right, but you read Civil War and you're reading 52. And...
Well, I read Civil War because I was interested in it, which I would say was the exception to my long-term rule. 52, was it really an event or was it a series? Oh, because what did it have to do with any other books?
It was both.
What was it?
Yeah,
I mean,
it affected every book.
Well, this is like what's an event or a crossover. It wasn't a crossover.
No, it wasn't like 1 year later. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. The lines are getting blurred here in the world of crossovers and events and series and things like that. You know.
Well,
and,
I was going to say, let's go through the list. See who's going to buy what. You two are going to buy the Initiative book.
Yep.
Which is like the main crux of the
And I will and I will buy the books that I've been buying that happen to have Initiative banners on it. Yeah.
Who is going to buy Countdown?
I will.
All right.
Okay.
But that's a series. I'm looking at that as like that's a new book that I'm interested in.
Fine. Look at it however you want to.
So, Planet Hulk.
Nope.
Well, Planet Hulk is wrapping up. It's World War Hulk. That's
right. Planet Hulk is over. World War Hulk is the new event.
I'm on the fence because I'm really I don't really read Hulk, but I'm curious. So
don't
I don't
you
know
just like
do.
Hulk? Who hates Hulk?
Oh, yeah, I love Hulk.
Oh, Josh does. Okay. I'm not buying that. Sinestro Corps.
Nah.
No.
Probably not.
No, yeah. That's a 0 for 3. Amazon's Attack, I am curious about, and I'm going to buy, I think, because...
Isn't that just
like
a mini?
Yeah, it's an event.
Oh, my God.
But his crossovers or miniseries events, those are two different things. This is like, are you going to buy miniseries that come up by, you know...
But they're like events that affect
the World War.
No,
World War. Amazon's Attack is going to affect. Is going to lead in. It's going to be affected in Countdown. It's
what is that?
It's Amazon's attacking.
Happening. There's a war. A war between the world and the Mascara, or however you. Pronounce
I know, but like, is it going to go into certain books, or is it?
I don't
know. So it's about Wonder
maybe,
Woman.
Maybe you should read it and find out.
Oh well, I don't know what it is, so I may as well start buying it.
I think Adam Beach is actually one of the writers on it.
Oh, there you go. Ding ding ding.
No, really, he's on Countdown.
I think so. Yeah.
He can only do two books.
Let me see. I don't have it in front of me.
Anyway, whatever. It's
someone
it's,
will
it's,
post
it's,
it.
Aaron, it's Murky Waters. So, basically, we just buy the ones you're interested in. If something
I do have,
like I said,
I do have fatigue. I mean, I'm not gonna say I don't.
I do. I mean, I want my books to just be for a while.
Yeah.
I have Civil War fatigue, which is why I'm not buying Initiative. So that's bad.
Fair enough. So it's murky. But if there's something that seems attractive to you, Aaron, just pick it up. You know, like I said, I might end
what
up
about the big
Hulk
X? The big X one.
Of course, because it's across books I read. I doubt you guys will read it at all.
That's a correct doubt.
All right. So, all right. Our next email comes from all the way from the frozen north of Alaska, from Ian. He writes in telling us that, you know, that Alaska is not necessarily a comics hotbed, but even up there they know of the unadulterated goodness spilling forth out of Dark Horse, and not Star Wars. He means he doesn't read them, or I shouldn't, but he thinks he will. Hellboy is king. It's the sole reason why he got back into comics. Like Ron, or Josh, whoever, he's not a supernatural guy, but the art is so damn good. And Mignola does not get the props he deserves when the great writers are mentioned. It could be like he's so slow to get things out, but he still rules. BPRD kills as well, and Guy Davis is, quote, capable, which is an understatement in his mind. There are others, Some he reads and some he checks out from time to time, like Usagi Yojimbo, Conan, Blade of the Immortal, The Goon, Criminal Macabre, and some he doesn't get, like Star Wars. He doesn't buy a lot of comics overall, but he always checks out Dark Horse to see what they've got coming out because they're solid. And with more BPRD and a new Hellboy coming this month, he just wanted to drop some Dark Horse knowledge on us. So we've been learned on the Dark Horse.
Not since Fables have we had the hammer come down on us.
But it wasn't as whiny as the Fables.
No.
Oh, stop. You're just
no,
provoking
it was like,
them.
No, it was really interesting to see
that. It was very supportive and educational, supposed to just
the quiet Dark Horse love come out, because Dark Horse honestly is a bit of a mystery to me, in that they just keep trucking along, and I know they have a lot of movie tie-ins and properties and stuff like that, and they do stuff like Hellboy, and they do stuff like The Goon, which I've been yelled at by people that I don't read it, none of us read it, right?
I have it in my pile.
I've read an issue here or there, and I didn't really like it.
So, and Usagi Yojimbo is one of the, it's like up there with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I've tried to read that a couple of times.
Yeah. So,
I would pick up, you know, a few issues in a row, and it never really grabbed me, but I keep thinking about going back and doing it again. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that if you were to, you know, keep reading it, you'd eventually come to really appreciate it. It's my guess. It's been around a long time, and people who love it, love it. So.
Well, regardless, I've been told I will be reading BPRD in my future, so expect to hear more about Dark Horse.
That book is getting a lot of buzz right now.
Yeah,
people are
I'm going to pick up a couple of probably Hellboy BPRD trades.
I'm even going to pick up some Hellboy trades. So
cool. Yeah. There you go. We've been taught. We've been learned.
And you know, we were in this exact same position with Fel many months ago, and look at us now.
Yeah.
Much poorer. Andrew from Saugus, Massachusetts, he says, in episode 13 of the video show, you brought up Judd Winnick. I never really got into comics until my senior year in high school, and one of the books that really hooked me was Winnick's run on Green Lantern. His other stuff is good, too, especially Shazam. And Kyle Rayner is still one of my favorite characters. Unfortunately, Ben Rabb ruined the book, and Kyle's in the void.
Didn't he, though?
Oh, Kyle's don't bring back that name!
A void in the DCU. Wasn't really a fan of the way the Ion miniseries ended. What are your thoughts on Winnick's run on Green Lantern? Where do you see Kyle Rayner ending up after World War III? Or with World War III on the horizon. Now, you guys were huge. I think, if I recall correctly, you guys are huge fans of Winnick's Green Lantern run.
I was. I loved Winnick's Green Lantern. I loved Ron Mars's, you know, Kyle Rayner before that. They were great.
Me too. Totally. I loved.
What was it about? Because I remember my memory is hazy. What was it about the run you guys loved so much?
It was good.
It had the feeling of what should be good about Spider-Man. Because it was the hero coming into his own and, like, having to struggle. Like, he had to pay the rent and do the stuff like that. But it was a different character than Peter Parker. So, because he's an artist, and it was a different kind of thing. And there was a lot of personal storytelling going on, too, in those books. Like, he had the assistant, Terry, who came out as gay, and, like, then Terry got beat up.
And the relationship stuff. I mean, the girlfriend got stuffed into the fridge, and then he was going out with
Jade. Well,
that
was before Winnick. Jade stuff
Mars.
Was Winnick.
I mean, But that all laid the groundwork for Kyle and his relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, and when it kept on doing it, you know, so which is great, which is, you know, like, and him, he was at Donna Troy for a while during that run, I think. Yeah. So I mean, it wasn't just, you know, fighting and Green Lanterning. It was, you know, like personal, you know, the world of Kyle Rayner in New York in Greenwich Village, which was a lot of fun to read. So,
yeah.
Struggling artists can't afford Greenwich Village.
Yeah. Too bad Ben Rabb ruined it.
I remember that now. Kyle Rayner, something's going to happen with him. He's in that promotional artwork.
Yeah.
And he's with Donna Troy, so who knows?
Yeah. I have a feeling that he's like grist for the mill.
That'll make Connor happy.
I'm really, because Ion didn't really take. You know, some people liked it, but overall there was sort of
all the so-called Kyle Rayner fans out there, and that book tanked.
Because I don't think it was very good.
Yeah,
doesn't matter.
The weird non-face mask thing kind of bothered me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right. So, but we're thumbs up on Winnick's run on GL. Mm-hmm. So, are we really gonna do the next email?
Yes.
Chris? Okay.
The next email. Let me just preface it before Ron reads it. It's it's a relationship email, which we were gonna save for the relationship show, but it is timely, so we need to do it before the relationship show.
Yeah, we need to chip in. All right. So bear with me. I'm gonna read through it. This comes from Anonymous. Him and his wife live 1,000 miles apart. She moved last May to take a job, and he's finishing law school and didn't have time to look into transferring. After she left town, he rediscovered a horrible addiction from his youth. No, not drugs or alcohol or strippers. We can relate to that. Something much worse.
Shut
you guessed
up.
It. You guessed it. He got hooked on comics. Thanks to CNN.com running a story on Spider-Man Unmasking Civil War number 2, him picking up a few issues, then discovering iFanboy on iTunes, and the comic reader's goldmine of Wikipedia to catch up on the last 10 years of continuity. Jesus.
He locked himself in a room.
Yeah. Now, every week, he goes to his local comic shop to pick up the new books. He reads iFanboy.com, listens to the podcast. He stays off sites like Newsarama and Comic Book Resources and don't read previews because he doesn't want to be surprised when he gets his books. Thanks for nothing, CNN.com, regarding Captain America number 25. But there's no doubt now that he is hooked. His comic edition has been a not-so-closely-guarded secret, as he's mentioned them a few times, and then little things like put up a Marvel Heroes calendar that he got at Walmart for $5. But he's never come clean and fessed up about his new addiction. So here's his big questions. How should I let my wife know that I read comics? And this is where it gets complicated. They only see each other once a weekend a month, and on her next visit, it's the same weekend as Free Comic Book Day, and he's volunteered to help the owner to hand out freebies to the kids for a few hours. Man, he went from not reading comics to volunteering at the comic book store?
I'm worried about him. I think he's binging.
So he says, do you think that's a good way to let her know? He doesn't want to cancel on volunteering, but he can't just disappear for 4 hours, the only weekend she's in town. Seriously, what do you think she would find worse, reading comics or getting drunk with 18-year-old co-eds all the time? Because I would be okay with giving up comics for that.
That's a problematic sentence.
Thanks, iFanboys. And he hopes that we can help him out before Free Comic Book Day.
Where to start? Okay, why is it a secret? Why is it a big thing that you don't want to talk about?
No, I don't know if he doesn't want to talk about it. I think just he just hasn't mentioned it. And
well, he says, how should I let my wife know I read comics? Just say I read comic books.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I got back into comics. They're really cool. Check it out and give her one to read.
No shame in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not cancel on your comic book store guy because you made a commitment.
I would totally
cancel.
His wife is only there once a month.
Once a month?
2 days out of a month. You know what? Free Comic Book Day is not that exciting.
Yeah, all right, I'll go with you then. Yeah, cancel on Free Comic Book Day.
I mean, there's priority. There's shit that's important. And
yeah.
Free Comic Book Day does not take priority over seeing your wife for the only 48 hours she's in town once a month.
That's only 4 hours, though.
Four out of 48.
I'm kidding. Devil's advocate. No, I agree with you. Yeah, he should ditch Free Comic Book Day. Maybe take her down to the store and get a couple of free comics and see the kids and see the excitement. All right. Well, I'm just throwing out ideas here. I'm spitballing. So.
You shouldn't. Don't be afraid to tell her you read them. There's nothing wrong.
Leave them out.
Yeah.
I've been reading comics again. I used to do it, and I really like it. But those are for kids. No, actually, they're not. Really, why don't you share some with me? And that's if you have a good relationship.
Yeah. It'll be fine. Don't be afraid. If it's something you like, then you want to share. You should share it with her and let her know. So.
But ditch FCBD, dude.
Yeah. Because honestly, the Free Comic Book Day thing is a bit of an anticlimactic thing anyway. I mean, it's good to get people in the stores and stuff like that, but as you know, a loyal reader, it's like, meh.
Well, and then the other thing is you don't want to start her out being resentful of it because it took her away from
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Although you should go to your store and pick up the Kirkman book. I'm just saying. It's the first issue. I'm just saying. That's all.
Oh, God.
So, anyway.
Great. The next letter. I followed Ron's advice, and now we're getting
And now, now I'm single, and I'm getting drunk with 18-year-old co-eds.
Wait. Yeah, that sentence also, by the way, you need to look into that.
Yeah. Totally. All right. So if you have a question and you've got a similar conundrum before Free Comic Book Day, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
And now we should talk about our other sponsor who've been with us all along, unless you think that we have forgotten about them. How about youbuynow.com, which is your spot on the web for action figures and collectibles and prop replicas and all that kind of stuff that your wife is going to soon start seeing around your house, Mr. Anonymous. Don't go overboard. That's important. Go to youbuynow.com. Maybe get a couple of action figures that you like. Put them around your computer. But don't go too far. But if you were going to go too far, you should go to youbuynow.com, which is youbuynow.com. Let them know that iFanboy sent you. And there's all sorts of good stuff there.
So... on to the voicemail. Our first voicemail comes from the Pacific Northwest, and it's got a question about characters versus writers.
Hey, iFanboy, Zach from Portland, Oregon again, and I want to know what you guys thought about writing characters that have been kind of under the radar and basically making them popular, a la Frank Miller's Daredevil. I want to know how much of it do you think is the actual character and their potential and how much of it is just the writer's, you know, writing chops. Because, you know, sometimes I think that the character doesn't matter at all. As long as you have a good writer behind it, you can make anybody a really, really solid character. So, thanks.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, I thought it was.
It's quite intelligent. You know what, though?
You sound surprised.
Oops. because it's something I'd never thought about, and I figure I've thought of everything by now. I would say that it's not a real answer. It could be a little of everything, but I think that a lot of times it's that special magic that comes when the right guy finds the right thing.
It's all about the story, really.
It is, but the story does have to fit the character. So I don't think I don't think it's so simple as to say a good writer is a good writer. I think, you know, there's a lot of bad characters out there, and either
any good writer can make any character a good character.
Who's a bad character?
I just think that there's a whole bunches of characters who are ultimately forgettable who come and go because they're just carbon copies of things which came before them.
A good writer could find a nugget of interest. Like, don't you think that like somebody like Bendis or Brubaker could take the Shocker and do
Alan Moore took to bring it back to Supreme, who's just completely a knockoff of Superman. It was a bad character and made him into a classic. Wrote a classic story. It's just any writer can make any character.
Are you going to let me answer the question? You're just going to tell me why I'm wrong?
I was putting my two cents in because it's three of us here.
I mean, you're right in a sense.
Are you going to answer the question?
No, it's a good question. Good questions are hard to answer quickly. The thing is, though, that I think there's certain characters who do have enough history to them, enough meat to them, so that when the right writer meshes with that, they find something that speaks to them and they can really speak through it better. If you have like sort of an empty vessel character, then you can certainly, you know, reboot them, I suppose, which is, I guess, more what you're saying with Alan Moore. Like, they just sort of took something from nothing when there was really nothing there.
Right, but then somebody like Frank Miller took
Daredevil.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Miller took Daredevil after, you know, 20 years of continuity, and the character was kind of languishing and dying and doing the same thing over, and did an amazing run on it.
Right, but do you think that, like, you know, if Robert Kirkman is going to go out and do the definitive Brother Voodoo just because nobody's ever done it?
I don't want to talk about that character.
I know, but that's a perfect example of a character that, like, you know, is there really anybody interested in it? Is it calling for that to be done?
You never know.
That's not the question, though. I mean, it's not anybody calling for Brother Voodoo. It's can he do a good one? Sure, he probably could. Somebody could. Anybody could do any good character.
I agree. I think if somebody has a really good story and they have a good take on the character that's never been done before, or is a little that takes them away from that carbon copiness, you know what I mean? Like a character as stupid as like Hydro Man, you know, bad Spider-Man villain. Mm-hmm. You know, I bet there could be a great story around.
Tangled Web was about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I don't think it's possible with everybody. I don't think that certain writers have strengths and things that means they're not suited to do with every single character.
Oh yeah, true. And the thing is, some characters might not be as rich or great as the other ones.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you in that it's not definitively saying no, it's definitely the writer, or no, it's definitely the character. I think it's the mesh of a writer taking the challenge of a character and coming up with something unique and doing it well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So good question though. It's something to think about. I'm sure we'll come up with another answer in like a week from now. So, but all right. So our next issue, our next voicemail should.
Wow, that's a new one.
We got a lot of issues to go through, so our next issue, deep resentment.
Roll the bass voicemail.
Hi, Ron, Josh, Connor, Hustings at iFanboy.com. So, Justice League of America number 7. I think I figured it out. If it's a midnight blue box with yellow type and a black border, that's Black Lightning. Got it. Okay, gray box, black type. Blue outline, that's Batman. Unless it's a lighter blue with yellow type and some other kind of borders, well, that's Superman. Red box, yellow type, green border, Red Arrow. Green box, that's got to be Green Arrow. Well, unless it's Green Lantern, right. And the red box, well, of course, that's Wonder Woman. Okay, now I got it, all clear. Oh, white box, black type, black border, gotta be Snapper Carr. Definitely makes sense. You gotta have a design degree just to read this book! Ah! All right, good story. But one more thing. This page that's supposedly out of place, it's not just the page, man. There's a panel on the page that doesn't make sense. It's all messed up. And they're talking about the picture before they take the picture, because it's a flash forward, or maybe the other thing was a flashback. I don't know which. Come on. I know Metzler is good. I know Meltzer, whatever. I know he can do better than this. It's just a mess. Oh, and you also have to have attention deficit disorder to read this book. That's the other thing. Good stories, but come on. We can do better. Justice League deserves better. All right. Peace out. Bye-bye.
Oh, man, that was a good voicemail.
Awesome.
That actually came from Pat from Chicago. He called back to tell us who he was and that he actually does like the JLA book. It's just that it was a little confusing to him. And I hope somebody from DC is listening to this podcast, because that summed it up better than I could have ever done it.
He's really been thinking about it. And it just totally, came flying out.
Then he's totally spot on.
And one more thing.
So, Connor, does it help you to enjoy the book at all or no?
Shut up. No.
All right.
Not the voicemail, the book.
All right. Our last voicemail comes from far away.
Hello, iFanboy. It's Aaron calling in. I'm 18, Canadian-born, and grew up in Colorado. I'm currently living in Paris, France. Don't ask. It's a long story. But I could tell you that long story on the website or on the forums, which I've been enjoying immensely. Love the show. Love the site. Anyway, I have achieved what few fanboys have ever achieved. I've got not one, but two of my parents actively reading comic books. It started when we were watching TV shows that we all watched together once a week off iTunes. And I was telling them how some of my comics are just as good, if not better, than some of the TV shows we watch. So I gave them some Fables and Why the Last Man, and they loved it. They couldn't get enough of it. They're all caught up now and asking for more. My question to you is, what can I give them? Both my parents would be like Lost, Battlestar Galactica, and 24, and they both loved Fables, but not so much Why the Last Man. And I'm slowly easing them into Runaways, but it's not the same. I know this is a rare situation, but I thought you guys may be able to help. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I wonder how much it cost them to call.
I want to know how he slowly eased them into Runaways. Just a half an issue, Dad.
Just read a panel.
No.
Don't go too far. You'll tip.
So what should they read?
Oh, there's a veritable cornucopia of things. I would say I blanked with what I was going to say. That's what I would say.
I would say if they're fans of 24, they should read The Losers, which is Andy Diggle's CIA Black Ops series. There's five trades of that. It's a Vertigo series.
I hear good things about that book.
I've read the first couple. I do want to finish it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful art. I was going to say is you may want to try some of Bendis's early work, Jinx, Torso.
Goldfish.
Goldfish, not so much. I do like Goldfish, but it's not as good as the other two.
Fire,
which was his first work. Yeah. But Torso's a really good sort of standalone historical, graphic novel.
Yeah.
It really shows one other thing that the medium can do. There's a bajillion things, and you're on the forums all day, so
yeah. So.
Him. He's around.
From the forums, I thought he'd have a French accent, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah, but oh well. So all right, cool. So if
Aaron, call back with a French accent, thank you.
Please. So if you want to call back and give us your best French accent, you can call 1-888 fanboys. That's 1-888. Fuck. 1-888-326-2697. Damn it!
Did you try to do it from memory and then just? Yeah, I don't have it. I don't have it.
I did. Well, no. What happened was I started doing a work conference call number.
Oh, jeez!
That would have been bad. So,
yeah, it would have been very bad. I would have been in the middle of a meeting and been like, "Hello."
Yeah, I was reading Captain America. No, not now. Click.
Print caller.
Who is this? Are you on a cellular phone? Print caller. All right, so call 1-888-FANBOYS, 326-2697. The pathetic thing about that is it's literally 6 inches away from my face in the monitor, and I looked away and tried to do it from memory. Oh, that's awful.
All right, so we normally wrap the show up now, but before we do that, we wanted to thank some people who deserve some thanking.
We owe a lot of people.
Yeah, the first one is Jason Grigsby, who heard us talking that we'd never read Fallen Angel from Peter David and IDW, and he very graciously, even though we told him he didn't have to, sent us the first trade of Fallen Angel. And I read that last night, finished it, passing it along to the guys next, and I'm not going to talk about it until we all read it. But thank you very much, Jason.
Yeah, that was awesome. And so then our next next one, thank you, goes out to Jerome Tambing, who he was the lucky winner to heed the call of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer challenge that we put out there. A lot of you, a couple of episodes ago, we were talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the comic, and saying how we didn't watch the show, we didn't know what was going on.
Well, you didn't.
A lot of you wrote in, and Josh said, hey, somebody send Ron the DVDs. We were kidding. But a lot of you wrote in, and a lot of you were very gracious and offered to buy us the DVDs, to quote-unquote get them, or to lend us your copies, which was awesome. But Jerome really came in, and not only did he lend us the complete – and guys, this is – I got it in the mail today, actually. It's the awesome complete box set of the DVDs. Like, it's that one collection of every season. It's wow. Really nice. He sent us his copy of that, which I'm gonna hold very carefully and keep it nice and send it back as soon as I'm done. But he also sent the annotated guide to all seven seasons, highlighting only the episodes I need to watch to get through the crucial, critical path of the story to get to the season 8 comic books. How cool is that?
That's
although
awesome.
I have a feeling I'm probably going to watch all the episodes anyway, because if I like it, I'll get sucked in. But still, but thank you, Jerome. That's awesome.
And that's above and beyond.
In 2 years, you'll be ready to talk about it.
Exactly, because it's like a lot of TV. Anyway, and then our last thank you goes out to Jeff Moore, who wrote in because he really liked the show and really wanted to donate some cash our way, but didn't have the cash, didn't have the funds, which we completely relate to. But he wanted to do something. So apparently he was getting rid of his comics, and he was going to donate a whole bunch of comics and stuff like that, and he asked if any of us needed any comic books. And he happened to have a lot of Uncanny X-Men issues that I didn't have. So thank you, Jeff.
Oh, you have a lot of Uncanny X-Men issues.
Yeah, I do. Well, he had a lot of oh, I get it. That was funny.
It wasn't.
He had a lot of issues in the 100s that I was missing, actually. And they're not in the best shape, admittedly. But I'm not collecting for money. I'm collecting to have the stories. So as opposed to throwing them out or donating them, he sent them our way as a donation. So we thank you very much, Jeff.
I got to see those at Ron's house, and they're fucking cool.
Right. Yeah. When am I going to get some loot?
Yeah.
Big stack of old books. You got Fallen Angel coming at you tomorrow, Josh. Jeez.
Yeah, you get Fallen Angel. Come on, and we can watch Buffy together if you want, and then we can go out for milkshakes.
All right, just paint my toenails.
And malt it.
Yeah. So that wraps it up. So don't forget to head over to ifanboy.com to check out all the discussion and check out the other comics that people liked this week, as well as Josh's full review of Fell Number 8. And head over, and from there you can get to our forums, which are over on revision3.com as well, and you can talk to all the many.
Apparently a lot
there.
Of you have been doing that because we've seen a huge influx of new users in the last couple of weeks, and we are all happy to see all of you.
Come and make awesome. Up your own in-jokes.
Yeah.
If you want to send us an email, you can do that at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at Ron.
1-888-FANBOYS. That's 1-888-326-2697.
Yes, call for any questions or concerns or comments or discussion topics.
I did that much better.
Yes, you did. It was great. Very fast, though. They might not have gotten it.
1-888-FANBOYS.
So every Wednesday afternoon, come by either ifanboy.com or revision3.com for a new episode of the video show. This week... we think you'll dig what's going on this week.
It's a good one coming.
A mystery has been revealed.
Yes, oh, yes. Not necessarily about comics, rather more about iFanboy.
iFanboy canon is about to be affected,
cracked open.
And I believe, and this is maybe our first example of shirtless Connor. What are we talking about?
Whoa, who knows? Whoa, what? Who? What? Who? What? So head over to ifanboy.com on Wednesday at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, or go to revision3.com.
Big shirtless Rod.
What? No.
I forgot about that. Oh,
yes.
So you can also go – if you want to be represented, you can go to frapper.com, frapper.com/ifanboy, or go to ifanboy.com, click the Frapper banner, and stick your pin in the map to be represented in the iFanboy faithful.
Exactly.
Wait. You're ripping it off. Now? No, not until tomorrow.
Here's my belly. MySpace.com/iFanboy or ComicSpace.com/iFanboy. Come be our friend and meet all the other friends of the show.
As always, one of the ways that you can help keep us going is if you can go to any of the podcast aggregators, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, any of those, vote for us, leave a review for us, leave a review for the video show on iTunes. We really appreciate that. And even better than that, if you think you know somebody who would dig this stuff, stick it in their face and make them listen to it or watch the show, and tell people about the show. Because if you like it, they probably will. And we really, really, really appreciate that because that's how it gets around.
Definitely. And if you and furthermore, if you want to help even more, you can go to ifanboy.com/donations if you can spare it and throw a couple bucks our way, help us making the show better for you as well as the video show. Before I forgot, a couple weeks ago we mentioned that Connor and I were on Around Comics podcast. Well, that came out, so if you go to aroundcomics.com and look back in their feed, you can see the episode. And for you X-Men fans, I was actually a guest on the Uncanny X-Cast, which should be coming out, should be out by the time you read this. We'll post on ifanboy.com when it comes out. I know they're working hard to get that issue out and spend
episode.
About, I don't know what episode number it is.
No, it's not issue, episode.
Oh, episodes.
Well, when you know, it'll be posted on the website, so keep your eyes out for that.
A lot of fun talk.
I listened to the Ron Comics one. Connor, you were funny. Ron, not so much. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, then.
I'm kidding. No, you guys, it was fun. I like listening. It was weird. I was like, where am I? Why isn't this? You guys are on another show. It's – I wasn't right. But I'm going to be on Around Comics later this month.
Yes, you will. Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm going to be there live.
Cool.
Yeah, so if you're in Chicago, go there and throw things at
me. I'm going to
– Tom Caters is going to wreck you.
I'm going to sit on John Suntress's lap.
Awesome.
Interview me, Suntress.
All right, so until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. I can't believe I said that in public. And I sang, oh, what do I do?